But I want us to study the book of Micah. And Micah was one of those prophets over after the fall of the north. After the fall of the north, well, just before the fall of the northern kingdom. Let me get all of that together. And we've been studying the book of Isaiah, and tonight I want us to do the book of Micah. It's going to be hard to do, and I'm not sure that I will be able to do it, but here's what I want you to do. I want you to forget that I'm a preacher, and I want you to think of me as being Micah the prophet. He was not a man who went around in a robe, so he looked like a prophet that was up there. But he was up there and he was trying to talk to those people that were up there about what was happening in their life. Now, I need your help tonight, all right? I want you to imagine, and I hope this is something you have to imagine, that you're the only holy person in this room, okay? Now, I want to borrow your imagination tonight, for I want you to imagine that you're the only godly person in this room. And that everybody else in this room is ungodly, and I'm God's prophet talking to the rest of them. Now, I don't know if that'll be difficult for you to do or not, but I mean, you know, just don't think about anybody else in this room. Don't think about the person beside you. You're the only godly one in this room. And there, you know, there's 160 ungodly people in this room. And I am Micah the prophet, and I am going to speak to all of these ungodly people that are here. And so I want you to think about yourself as being the only righteous person, everybody else being ungodly. Now, in the book of Micah, there is reference to the remnant. It's all the way through the Old Testament. And they were the godly people that the Lord referred to. Some of them who were there, who were, well, not exactly the remnant, but they were those who were righteous in the land. And the Lord's about ready to send them over into Babylonian captivity. They're going to be there 70 years, and only the remnant is going to return. I'm sorry, folks. We are down to 5 godly folks in this room, plus you. We'll make that 6, okay? Because these folks are going to go over there, and they're going to be the godly remnant that's going to return. And so it's sometimes in this lesson tonight, and all we're going to do is read the text of Micah. So get your Bibles out. And I'm not going to read every verse in it, but there will be times when I want to come over here and talk to this remnant. You guys are young people and everything, and these ungodly folks are over there, but you're going to go over to Babylon, and you're the godly folks that's going to be able to come back. All of these folks in here are going to go to Babylon, but you're the godly ones that are going to come back. So every now and then in this lesson, I'm just going to come over here and talk to the remnant. These are the godly folks. These are the good folks that are over there who are going to come back from Babylonian captivity, and they're the ones who are trying to live right and do right. Now, there are some other things here. There are these nations that are over here. In one reference, there are these evil nations that are going to come. Babylon's going to be one of them. But Micah's going to talk about all of these evil nations, and I want to tell you individually, because you're righteous, you know. Everybody around you is unrighteous, but I want to tell you that God's going to take care of these nations, that it's a part of God's plan for them to come over and take this nation to Babylon. And so sometimes in this lesson, I'm going to be pointing over here to this nation, okay? Now, the other thing we're going to do is Micah was there with Isaiah, and Isaiah was called, remember Isaiah the Messianic prophet? Isaiah looked at the time of the coming of the Messiah. And so there are going to be times as we read the book of Micah that I'm going to be Micah, and I'm going to be looking up into the future. I'm going to be looking to the time whenever the mountain of the or when the Lord's house will be established in the top of the mountains, and all the nations shall flow into it. And there are times when I'm going to be describing what that world's going to be like whenever the Lord sets up His kingdom. And so you'll understand that at that time in this lesson, I'm going to be looking out over here. I'm sorry, Mike, I'm not going to be looking at you. Clayton, I'm not going to be looking at you. I'm going to be looking at the righteous folks that are way, way out there in the future, okay? Not these righteous folks that are here tonight, you know, but the righteous folks way out there in the future. Because you see, when you read the book of Micah, it's not like it's laid out, well, chapter 1 is all about this, and chapter 2 is about this, and chapter 3 is about this, and that's the way our mind works. And so sometimes when we read the book of Micah, we just sort of get lost in it. But if we look at every section by paragraphs and parts, There are times whenever right in the middle, he'll come and he'll start talking to the remnant. And he'll say two or three things to the remnant, and then he'll turn right back to all these evil folks that are here. Not talking about you, obviously. But when he'll talk to all of these evil folks that are here that are ungodly. Got the picture? I hope you have. I hope we can do this tonight. I'm scared to death to even try to do this tonight. Let's try it, okay? Now, I'm not going to read every verse in Micah. And every now and then, I'm going to throw into a sentence in there. For example, don't dare tell your wife. I may throw that in here because there's one section whenever he says, you can't even trust your own wife. And I may throw in some comments every now and then to try to make this flow so that you'll be able to understand it. But by and large, what I want us to do is to read the book of Micah. And you just imagine I'm Micah the prophet. You're one of those righteous people down in Jerusalem. Isaiah says that from the top of their head to the sole of their feet, there's nothing there but ungodliness. And I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about everybody else in this room, okay? All these evil folks that are in this room. But I'm telling you, you guys, you're a sick nation. You are a sick nation, and God's got a message for you. And then there are times when the voice of God will be just speaking. And at that time, though I am not the voice of God, at that time I will try to emphasize with authority, these are the words of God. So let's forget about sitting here. Here's the righteous remnant. There's the nation. There's the time of the coming of the Messiah. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Here's what it's going to be like when he's born. There's the time when the kingdom is going to be established. And there's the time when this remnant will come back. And you guys are the good guys tonight. You ready? Listen, all of you people. Listen, O earth and all that is in it. Let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from His holy temple. The Lord is coming out of His place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under Him, and the valleys will split like wax before the fire, like waters poured down from the steep places. All of this because of the transgressions of all of you people from Jacob, all of you evil people who are here tonight. And for the sins of the house of Israel, your buddies up in the northern kingdom. And for the sins of the house of Israel, what is the transgression of Jacob? Where is it found? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places in Judah? Where's that found? Oh, they're found all over Jerusalem. I will make, God says, I will make Samaria like a heap of ruins in the field. Places for the planting of vineyards. I will pull down her stones in the valley. I will uncover her fountains. All the carved images shall be broken to pieces. And all her pay as a harlot shall be burned with fire. And all her idols will I lay desolate, for she gathered it from the pay of a harlot. And they shall return to the pay of the harlot. I will wail. I will go stripped and naked. I will make a wailing like the jackals, a mourning of the ostriches. For her wounds are incurable. It has come down from Samaria down to Judah. It's come down to the gates of the people to the city of Jerusalem. Comment, Samaria is ready to fall. And you people of Judah need to understand that the judgment that's coming from Samaria is headed straight for Jerusalem, for there's no righteousness in Jerusalem except for that remnant. And so he says, skipping to the next chapter, woe to you who devise iniquity. You work it out on your beds, and when the morning light comes, you get out of your beds to do the evil that you thought up the night before because you have the power to do it. You covet the fields, you take them away by violence, the houses, you seize them, so they oppress a man in his house, a man in his inheritance. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I am against this family. I am devising a disaster from which you cannot remove your neck, nor shall you walk haughtily, for this is an evil time. In that day, one shall take up a proverb against you and lament with a bitter lamentation over you, saying, we are utterly destroyed. He hath changed the heritage of my people. How has he removed it from me? To a turncoat he's devised out in the field. You will have no one to determine the boundaries by lot in the assembly of the Lord. Do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy, so say they shall not prophesy to you. You're trying to stop the mouth of those prophets. And what you're saying is that what is going to happen to them, or what they're saying is going to happen, it's not going to happen. You've told the prophets to be quiet. They shall not return insult for insult, you who are named for the house of Israel. Is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? And Jehovah says, my people, Israel, Judah, my people have risen up as an enemy. You have pulled off the robes with the garments from those who trust you as they pass by. Like men returned from war, the women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses, from their children you've taken away my glory forever. Comment, Jehovah God is saying to all of you evil people, nobody's safe here. The women and the children, you've abused them, you've taken everything that they rightly have. There's nobody in this land left that you can trust. Arise and depart. Get out away from the city. This is not your rest, because it is defiled. It shall destroy. Yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prater of the people. Prophecy, promise of God. I will surely gather all of the assembly of you. I will gather the remnant. I will gather the remnant out of Israel. And I'll put you together like sheep in a fold, like a flock in the midst of the pastures. They shall make a loud noise because of many people. The one who breaks open will come before them. They will break out past to the gates and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord in their hands. Comment, God's going to take care of the remnant. God's going to take care of the righteous. And while the judgment of God is coming, there will come that day when that king will come and go before you. Chapter 3. O heads of Jacob, the rulers of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice? You who hate the good and love the evil, who strip skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who also eat the flesh of my people, flay their skins from them, break their bones, chop them in pieces like meat for the pot, like flesh in the cauldron. They'll cry to the Lord. You evil nation, you will cry to the Lord, but he will not hear you. He will even hide his face from them at that time because they've been evil in their deeds. And to the prophets, false prophet Casey, the mouthpiece of all of these people, the hireling for all of these people, hear the message of the Lord. Concerning the prophets who make my people to stray, who chant peace, peace, while they chew with their teeth, but who prepare war against him who puts nothing in their mouths. You shall have nights without visions. You shall have darkness without divination. The sun will go down on the prophets, and the day shall be dark for them, so the seers shall be ashamed and the diviners ashamed. Indeed, they shall all cover their lips, for there's no answer from God. Prophet of God, understand, I've not put any of these words in your mouth. And here you are preaching peace and peace and safety when there is no peace. I am full of power in the Spirit of the Lord, God Almighty, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sins. Now hear this, you are the heads of the house of Jacob, rulers of the house of Israel, you who abhor justice and pervert equity, you who build up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity, her heads judge for a bribe, her priest teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Yet they lean on the Lord and say, isn't the Lord among us? No harm shall come upon us. Because of you prophets and you priests, because of the iniquity of this people, because of you, Zion shall be plowed like a field. Jerusalem shall become the heap of ruins, and the mountains of the temple like the bare hills of the field. But it shall come to pass in the last days, in the last days, it shall come to pass that at that time the mountains of the Lord's house will be established, be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow to it. Many nations shall come and say, come ye, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law from Jerusalem, and He'll judge between many people, rebuke the strong nations afar off. They who have been evil and warfare-like, they will beat their swords into plows, and their spears into pruning hooks to gather fruit. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And at that time, every man will sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one will make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of the hosts has spoken this. All people shall walk, every one of them, in the name of his God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord God forever and ever. Comment? The very peaceful nature of that messianic kingdom that's going to come. Those of us who have, in this day and age, become that very kingdom, that very mountain of the Lord's house, who will allow us to smite us on the one cheek and we turn the other to Him also. Those of us who bless those who curse us and pray for those, pray for our enemies and return good for evil, we've taken swords and built them into implements where seeds can be planted and harvested, and where this divine seed can be planted and harvested. That great messianic kingdom. In that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame. I'll gather the outcast, and those whom I have afflicted, I will make the lame a remnant and the outcast a strong nation. So the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion from now on, even forever. Chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you're a little among the thousands of Judah, out of you shall come forth to me the one who is to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth is from old, from eternity to eternity, thou art God, whose going forth is from of old, from everlasting. Bethlehem, out of you is to come one who from of old is everlasting. He'll gather them up until the time that she who was in labor has given birth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. And he'll stand and feed his flock. The remnant. They're coming back. And that remnant that comes back from Babylonian captivity will be, as it were, the mother of the Son of God and the mother of us all. That righteous remnant that's going to return, and the Lord's going to gather you. In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of God, they shall abide, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be for peace. When the Assyrians come into our land, and when they tread on our palace, he will rise up among them, 7 shepherds and 8 princely ones. They shall lay waste with the sword the land of Assyria, the land of Nimrod as its entrances. He shall deliver us from the Assyrians when he comes to the land, when he treads on our borders. Who's this? That's the Messiah that's coming. Comment? These nations who have been oppressing God's people, they will be overcome by the righteous remnant. And the book of Revelation depicts that very thing whenever the kingdom of God was established. And the kingdoms of this world became the kingdom of our God. For when that Messiah came, when he came out of Bethlehem Ephrata, within 250 years of the establishment of the church, even the Caesar himself had become a Christian. And the enemies of God, terminology of the Old Testament, the Assyrians, have been destroyed. The remnant of Jacob, you shall be in the midst of many people like dew from the Lord, like showers on the grass that tarry for no man nor wait for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, like a lion of the beast of the forest, a young lion among the flocks of the sheep, who if he passes through both treads and tears in pieces and none can deliver. Your hand shall be lifted up against your adversary and all of your enemies shall be cut off. And it shall be in that day, says the Lord, I'll cut off your horses from your midst. I'll cut off the cities and throw down the stronghold. I'll cut off the sorcerers from your hand. Your carved images I will cut down. You shall no more worship the works of your hand. I will pluck out your wooden images. I'll destroy your cities. I will execute vengeance and angers on the nations that have not heard. Remnant, go to Babylon. Be faithful to God. And when that message comes 70 years later, come back to the city. You will come back. And you will be those chosen people, because these ungodly people are going to Babylon too. But God's going to bring back this righteous remnant. And you're going to be the one who comes back and rebuilds the walls and rebuilds the cities. You will be the ones who will, as it were, be the mother of the Son of God, figuratively speaking. Thank God. Thank God for the righteous remnant. For those people who, when they got to Babylon, stayed those 70 years in Babylon, and when the cry came back, why, there are 2 or 3 generations over in that land. Not anyone wants to come back. Except this righteous remnant. Thank God for the remnant. And when you came back, the Lord took away your sorceries. He took away your carved images. And there you were, the people of God. But turning from the remnant, he goes back to the nation and says, arise, plead your cause before the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, O ye mountains, the Lord's complaint and your strong foundation of the Lord, for the Lord has a complaint against all of these ungodly people here tonight, against his people, and he'll contend with Israel. And he says to the ungodly nation, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Tell me what I've done, God says. Testify against me. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. I sent before you Moses and Aaron and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, counseled and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered from Acacia Grove to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of God. Comment, oh, house of Israel, how could you become so ungodly when I brought you out of the land of Egypt? And now look where you are, Micah says. And someone might say, with what shall I come before the Lord? What do I, the righteous, what do I have to bring to God? With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I take my child, the fruit of my body, my firstborn, and offer him for the sins of my soul? What does the Lord require of you? Your child? Thousands of rivers of oil that you do not have? What does the Lord require of you? He has shown you, old man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Do justly. Love mercy. And walk humbly. And that's the heart of the remnant. You see, if I offer 10,000 rivers of oil, if I offer thousands of rams, if I offer the first fruit, my own son as a sacrifice for the sins of my body, it's all about me. Evil nation of Judah, what does God require of you? Do right. Comment, O church in the 21st century. What does he require of us? 10,000 songs? All of the earthly possessions that we have, shall I give him everything so that I will look good in the sight of God? Shall I sing louder than anybody else and pray longer than anybody else? What does God want, O church, in the 21st century? Do right. Here it is. Do justly. Love mercy. And to walk humbly before God. But you didn't do it. The Lord's voice, his cries to the city, wisdom shall see your name. Hear the rod, who has appointed it? Are there yet treasures of wickedness in the house of the wicked and the short measure that's an abomination? Shall I count pure those who have altered scales, who are dishonest in your business? Shall I count you as pure? You have a bag that's full of deceitful weights, for the rich man are full of violence. Her inhabitants have spoken lies, and the tongue is deceitful in their mouth. I will make you sick by striking you, by making you desolate because of your sins. You shall not eat. You shall eat but not be satisfied. Hunger shall be in your midst. You may carry some away, but shall not save them. And what you do rescue, I will give over to the sword. O house of Israel, there is no hope for you. You'll sow, but you won't reap anything. You'll tread out the olives, but there's no oil. You'll make sweet wine, but you'll not drink it, because you're no better than the household of Omri, the father of Ahab, and the works of Ahab's house are done, and that which was done in Israel is now being done in Judah. You want to know how evil you are? Chapter 7, verse 3. In the earlier books, he said, you lie awake at night trying to figure out some evil to do and can hardly wait for it to be daylight. He says, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. Chapter 7, verse 3. The prince asks for gifts, the judge asks for a bribe, and the great man utters his evil desires. They scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn's hedge. The day of your watchman and your punishment comes. Now they shall see their perplexity. Don't you trust a friend. Do not put your confidence in your companions. Watch what you say. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. Don't even trust your wives. You are so evil that son dishonors the fathers, and daughters rise up against the mothers, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemy are the men of his own household. I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the Lord, my God, of my salvation. My God will hear me. So he becomes, at the end of this, again, like he did once before, whenever he saw the kingdom being established. When he saw the one who came out of Bethlehem and he gave them hope, he says to them, verse 14, shepherd your people with your staff, the flock of your inheritance, who dwell solitarily in a woodland in the midst of Carmel, let them feed in Bashan the Gilead as in days of old. Perhaps an appeal to God, perhaps an appeal to those who were the shepherds of Israel. And then the Lord says to that remnant and to that righteous one who sits where you sit when the whole nation is evil, as in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will show mercies. I will show them wonders. The nations shall see and be ashamed with all of their might. They shall put their hands over their mouth. Their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent, crawl from their holes like the snakes of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord God. Righteous remnant. The Lord is going to come, and the Messiah is going to come. And when that Messiah comes, you will see miracles like they saw whenever they came out of the land of Egypt. As in the days of Moses, in the days when you came out of the land of Egypt, I will again show wonders, because the Messiah is coming. And the evil will be rebuked. They'll be afraid of God. And Micah says this, who is a God like you? Century Christian, how do you see God? Let's read together out loud verse 18. Together, who is a God like you, pardoning iniquities and passing over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from days of old. What's God like? He's like the God that Micah tried to help people in that day see. Oh, America, where princes and judges take bribes, where the righteous have their skins flayed off of them, where there is mockery of every sacred thing, and the name of God is profaned, and vulgarity and immorality and ungodliness is on every hand, and where people lie awake at night trying to devise another scheme to take advantage of those who are trying to live right and those who are innocent and naive. And when the morning light comes, they wake up. They can hardly wait for the morning light to come so that they can do evil. And they do evil with both hands. The nature of God has not changed. And what you and I need to do is to have a heart like this remnant. What does the Lord require? Do justly. Love mercy. And to humbly walk with God. And our acceptance to God is not going to be determined by some external kind of service that we give whenever we just sort of go to church and mark time because, well, it's Sunday night and I have to go to church. If I don't go to the church, the elders may be calling me. That's not what righteousness is all about. What does the Lord require of you? Do justly. Love, forgiveness, love, showing mercy, and to humbly walk with God. And He will take all of our sins, because there's no God like our God who delights in mercy. And He will take all of our sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. And that's how much God wants you in heaven. Suppose you could make a list of every sin you'd ever made and put it on some metal plate. A big sheet of metal. And you carried it out here in the Atlantic. And you took it out, not just out where the waves break, but you carried it out. You've got one of those depth gauges. You carry it all out beyond the continental shelf where the earth, where the bottom of the earth, the bottom of the sea just tumbles down thousands of feet. And you had every sin you'd ever committed written down, engraved on that plate, and you threw that plate out into the ocean. You'd stand there and you'd watch it. You'd see as it goes back and forth as the sunlight shines on it. Before long, there's no longer sunlight. It's not there anymore. It's gone forever and ever and ever and ever. And you'd never, ever be able to retrieve it again. That's what God wants to do with us. Not because we're righteous. Not because in some external way we look good. But because we have within our heart this one desire to walk humbly with God. Except you become converted and becomes a little child. You guys love the Lord? Yeah. Would you die for the Lord? Yeah. You love God more than you love anything on this earth? Absolutely. You want to always do right? And that's the heart we've got to have. He takes all of our sins and casts them in the midst of the sea. I don't have this lesson feels to you. Sometimes I read the prophets and I get messed up. It's just not laid out there logically. There ought to be one chapter when they're messianic and another chapter that's talking to the Jews and another chapter that's talking to the others. That's not the way the Hebrew mind worked. But you read this, you read each paragraph, and decide when you read that paragraph, who is he talking to? And this book's not hard to understand. There may be parts of it that give us problems, but it's not that hard. God wants you in heaven. If you're not in heaven, it'll be because you don't want to be there. You know the plan of salvation, that you need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God and to repent of your sins, to make up your minds to follow Jesus. Like Cassie did this morning. Cassie, I'm sorry I called you Casey. I'll apologize to you and not to Casey. You were honored this morning, Casey, okay? Like Cassie did this morning, to be baptized into Christ. You can do that. And heaven will be yours because God wants you in heaven. You're a Christian and you're still struggling? Don't you dare give up. Don't you throw up your hands and say, I don't think I'll ever make it. Why? Because God wants you in heaven. And that metal plate may again have sins on it. Throw it in the sea again. He wants you in heaven. How can we help you go to heaven? Won't you let it be known by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?